And then if you have capital equipment or inventory, you pay taxes on that. And so obviously if you got more inventory, as they do here, you're going to pay more taxes on that. Obsolescence is a major killer in inventory. When you put stuff in inventory, can you imagine if you had a computer store and you were selling computers? You know, let's say 10 years ago, you were selling computers. Virtually every day, you know, they were coming out with a new processor or a new this or a new that. And that inventory was becoming obsolete almost overnight. Today, I think things have stabilized a little more, and so it's not as bad. But no matter what, if you've got inventory, it can go obsolete. And so there's a cost associated with that and a storage cost. I was working with a client that had a pretty sizable inventory. They make custom machinery, but when they, you know, they would buy spare parts for that machinery anticipating, you know, that something might break down and they might need something to replace something. They had to rent another building because they had so much inventory in parts and things that, you know, in some cases, maybe they bought something and it didn't work the way they wanted it, but they'd already bought it and tried it, so they would just save it, and then they'd buy something else. So they had to rent another building to put all their inventory of parts and so forth in it. So you have a cost of storage when you have inventory. You got to heat it. You got to light it. You got to have people, racks or whatever. So storage is a cost. And then shrinkage, this is a cost associated with, in most cases, theft, or like sales guys going in and taking something out of inventory that they're going to show to a customer, and then they end up, you know, leaving it in their trunk, or they forget it, they leave it with the customer, and so on. So you have a certain amount of shrinkage. So obviously the more inventory you have costs associated with it, and this one here is $900,000, and that's $180,000. So inventory generally is an anchor. It's an anchor for distributors if you force distributors to have inventory, or if you have it yourself. And I remember at GE, when we would put on a new distributor in an area to help us, let's say it was kind of a new area, business was growing in that direction, we'd find some company and put on a distributor. We'd say, hey, we're going to sign you up with our products, but you know, you got to give us a stocking order to get started and so on. And in most cases, they wouldn't know what to order, and we wouldn't know what to put in there. You know, we might have some basic idea, but you know, over time, as customers start ordering things, you know, then they have sales reports and so on, and they could get a better handle on it. But I used to think, wow, that's great. I got a $20,000 stocking order, which was great, I thought. But on the other hand, that came back to bite me because the distributor has got $20,000 worth of stuff he can't sell, and it's costing him money. So it's much better to put some people out there, like we could send Garrett out to that new market and have him work with the distributor to determine what would be the proper inventory, you know, and make a much better judgment on giving him some inventory. So inventory costs a lot of money, and it can be a huge headache. And what we don't want to do as a manufacturer is we do never want to take back any inventory. We just don't want to do it. That is extremely expensive. When you take back stuff, you got to get an engineer involved in looking at it to make sure that it still works or it's correct or whatever. And you can't just, you know, bring it back and put it in stock and then ship it to someone else, because someone somewhere along the line may have, you know, turned it on and tried to get it to work and didn't do it properly and caused some problems. So it costs a lot of money to do that. Okay, now this next one is just an attempt to show the relationships that should exist. We're just talking about the business relationships between customers, manufacturers, and middlemen. And middlemen are distributors or agents. And these are people that might have some unique expertise and be able to help a manufacturer or the primary company to work with customers and so on. Now, here's the customer over here. And so these circles represent each of these different functions. So when things are working properly, what happens is the manufacturer and the distributor or agent, they work together alone in this area. And that's where they're doing sales planning and so on. Now, let me tell you, when I was in the marketplace with GE, I worked with a guy named Tony Marino. He was from Chicago and I was from New Jersey. This guy was a fantastic guy. I just loved this guy. And we were working in Southern California. And man, like, we were laughing. We're riding around a car laughing. We go in and see customers and we're making jokes with all our customers. We just had a great time. So Tony and I worked together a lot because we enjoyed each other's company. He was my distributor. I worked for GE. I was the manufacturer and he was my distributor. So that was in Orange County. Now down in San Diego County, I had a distributor down there too. I had two distributors down there, but one guy was really good, and his name was Terry Davis. And I worked with him, and the way I worked with him was perfect. I would come down to San Diego in the evening, and I would have dinner with him. So he'd come over, and we'd have dinner, and we'd talk about what's going on in the marketplace. Because I went down there every fourth week. I spent 3 days in San Diego. So I would go down there. I'd meet Terry for dinner, and he'd tell me what's going on here, what's going on there.